What's going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we spoke with Aaron and Cam of Night Tales over Zoom video. Aaron and Cam talk about their individual journeys in music. Aaron was born in the UK and then moved to Australia. Cam is from Australia. They talk about how the both of them met. They both had projects prior to Night Tales, but they told us all about how the duo formed, some early successes that they've had, and all about their debut album, which is called Proof. You can watch our interview with Cam and Aaron on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, iHeart, wherever, follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Night Tales. Taylor, man. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I'm Adam, and this podcast is about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are now. We'll talk about the new albums and all that as well.
Awesome. Have you had a chance to listen to it yet?
I was listening to it earlier today, actually.
Okay. What's your favorite? What's your standout?
I got to pull it up now. You got to call me on the spot here, dude. I got to find it again. It's on my Spotify. Hold on. I'm so bad with names. I want to say it was like the third or fourth track on the record. Night Tales. And now I'm here. Oh, Phoenix, number 4.
There you go. Yes. That seems to be a fan favorite.
Oh, is it? That's cool. No, yeah. That's a great song on the record. It wasn't a single though, was it?
Yeah, it was a single. It was our last single before the album came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know you had one earlier than that, so I wasn't sure if that one came out as a single yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had 5 singles before we released that, and I think Phoenix is probably out of all the songs that we've done so far, it's the most high energy, most angst, most emotional one. So it's a little bit of like a departure from what we usually do, but in terms of the album as a whole, it definitely fits in the emotion for that song across the whole album. So
no, definitely. I that's the one that I remember, because I'm so bad with names, dude. I have to like go through, and then especially I have to hear the record so many times to not know like what number song it was. I'm like old school CD days, like, oh, put it on number 3. Okay. Oh, well, yeah, that was it. And with Spotify and everything now, I just have to like re-jog my memory when I look at the song. Yeah, because I had an interview before you guys where I was listening to that album and I kind of go back and forth. But anyway, it's a great record. Yeah. I can't wait to hear all about it and how you guys got it all together and everything else. So first off, talk to me about where were you born and raised?
So me personally, so one half of Night Tales, Aaron, I was born in England in a city called Peterborough. I was there for 28 years and then moved to Australia. I was there for 16 years. That's when I met Cam about 5 years ago. And now we've just both taken the plunge and moved over to LA since February. So we are now men of the world.
Okay. That's killer. Yeah. Okay. So you spent that much time, you said England beforehand?
Yeah. 28 years in England, born and raised, and then moved to Australia. I was there for 16 years and then just moved from Australia to LA.
Okay.
With Cam.
Well, tell me about your first 28 years then there in England. What was that like?
Some of it dabbled in music, but I played, you know, pretty much semi-pro football, soccer in the UK for most of it. And then worked in a magazine company called EMAP in the UK, looking after magazines like Match Magazine, Empire, Arena, FHM, all that kind of stuff. And then had the opportunity to go and travel the world, and I had a round the world ticket, and it was Japan, Australia, Fiji, New Zealand, America. I went to Japan, went to Australia and then never left.
Okay. And then you stay there for 16 years.
Wow.
Okay. So football is huge for you, it sounds like. I mean, to play semi-pro, that was what your whole life, I would imagine, up until
Most of it. Like I did like gymnastics up and from like the age of like 7 to 11. And then I did athletics from 11 to about 16 and then played football. So always done something kind of sporting. And I also used to, I don't think I actually mention this a lot, but I went to art college. I used to draw a lot. I used to be able to draw like Japanese anime, lots of sketches, lots of cartoons. So that was like, I was always creative, but yeah, I haven't drawn for ages.
Oh, wow. And I mean, to go to school for that as well, I would imagine, like, you don't do art for the project or anything like that?
Nah, I mean, both Cam and I are both kind of like, you know, visual as well as like, you know, production-wise. So we have our ideas and then we send them to like, so for the album, for example, we work with a guy called Sylvantius based out of Holland. And he's really great at basically doing these one line drawings. So we reached out to him and said, hey, but we've got this album that we're putting out. We've got these 5 singles and then an album artwork. And he was really able to take the music, you know, and use that emotion to come up with the artwork. So if you look at all the artwork that's on the album and the singles before that, it's all done by Sylvantius.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Very cool. And what about music? You said that you didn't get into that until later, but were you, like, did you dabble at all? Did you play piano or guitar or anything?
No, like,
production or anything?
I remember my mum saying to me that, you know, at a very, really early age, I could put a record on a record player, put earphones on and just like fall asleep or do something. So I always had music in the household kind of growing up, but it wasn't until I went on my first boys holiday to Ibiza when I was 15, like way too young to go to Ibiza. This was like, God, back in the 90s, mid 90s. And that's the first time I ever heard house music, because I kind of grew up in the household with like, you know, reggae, Motown, all that kind of stuff. And then I heard electronic music for the first time. I was like, holy moly, what is this? And that started my love affair of electronic music. And then on that trip, I bought my very first pair of decks. So I bought Technics 1210s and then just learned to play vinyl and just literally was a bedroom vinyl for years and years and years. And I didn't really get into production properly until I moved to Australia. I dabbled in it, but didn't do anything like, it wasn't purposeful, but here we are.
Yeah, you said you had a around the world trip. You go to where Japan, and then the second place you landed is Australia, and then you stay there. What was there a particular reason?
I stayed there. I just really fell in love with like the culture and how beautiful Australia is in Sydney, and there was a lot of opportunity for me there to, you know, not only just like work, but just, you know, have a whole new different experience. And I mean, if you've ever been to Australia, it's very, very enticing. It's very, very hard to leave because they're literally like an island on its own, surrounded by beaches and paradise and that kind of stuff. It's literally like, it's one of the best places on earth to live.
That's amazing. Okay, what about you, Cam? Were you born and raised in Australia then?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Western Sydney. My father's Tanzanian and my mom's Australian. They met each other in the 80s and had me in 1990. My music journey sort of started when I was in high school, singing in bands and doing covers of like Outkast and Coldplay and things like that. And then didn't really do much music until the age of 20, where I met one of my mates from a neighboring high school. And then we started the band called Olympic Airs. Did pretty well in its own right. We toured around Australia, got a song on FIFA, you know, did some really cool things, learn about the music industry, and just kind of grew. So that project wrapped up around 2015, and I started my solo thing called Come and Lisa. Still well. Got about maybe 15 million streams on that project. And then around about the same time, maybe a couple of years after, I started Night Tales with Aaron. That's a very short film of my music journey so far.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. But what an incredible one. So just to back up a bit here, how did you originally get into music? You sang for both of those. I mean, one was your project, but the one that was on FIFA and stuff, you were the singer of that band as well?
Yeah. I was singing on that. Started using, there's a program called Audacity, actually.
I remember Audacity.
Like, yeah, I don't know what people used it for exactly, but I was doing like covers of,
you know, it was free, like, I think. That's what people used it for.
yeah.
Yeah, I was doing covers of like Craig David and Bone Thugs and Harmony and Harmonies and stuff like that. And yeah, using like a Logitech mic with the headset and the little piece on the side, you know. Uh-huh. I think that was my first like introduction to any type of production software, and then sort of migrated to GarageBand and then subsequently Logic.
Okay. And did you start off on piano or guitar or anything like that either? Or was it just, were you always a singer?
Yeah, predominantly a singer. In Olympic Airs, I would play the keys. So I would like, we'd produce the songs, but I wouldn't really learn them until we had to play them live. It was kind of like reverse engineering, like what you, you know, compose at the time and actually learning to play it. So yeah, it was cool.
So from that band, I mean, prior to the project you guys have together now, and even your solo project, like that must have been exciting. I mean, to be able to tour and then you know, get your song in a video game, especially like FIFA, which is massive. Mm. I mean, you know, across worldwide game. What were some of those early kind of like validating moments like?
I think just having people in the industry that believed in us. We had a really good early introduction to the music industry because our publisher was also our lawyer, and he really protected us and made sure that we were, you know, collaborating with the right people, could, you know, spot a bad deal, you know, those type of things. Yeah, I guess we're really validating, and I think the numbers spoke for themselves. You know, lots of people were streaming and coming to the show, so yeah, it's awesome. Sorry, it's a bit loud. I'm at the airport.
Oh, okay. Is that? It sounds like you're like in a kitchen.
Like, yeah. I'm at the Amex Lounge in Toronto. I had to come here to get a stamp on my visa for the States.
Oh, cool, man. Well, so you're not in currently, obviously, in LA. So, okay. Well, Aaron, so when you get to Australia, how long had you been there before you ended up linking up with Cam?
I met Cam in 2017, I believe. I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would have been in Australia for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
No, eight or nine years. Probably longer than that. I was landed in 2006.
So. But you weren't working on music when you were there originally?
No, I wasn't working on music, but I worked in hospitality for literally up until I actually left. So my job in Australia was looking after a handful of bars and nightclubs and restaurants where I would basically be the entertainment director. So I would program all the music that you would hear in the bar from, you know, when you walked in at lunchtime till nighttime.
Oh, cool.
All the acts. I'd book, you know, big international acts to come and play at the venue. So I've always had my kind of like toe inside the music world, not just from a production standpoint, but from a booking standpoint, and knowing how that works with dealing with agents and negotiating fees and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, really boded us well as now, as we are artists in that world, signed to CAA, you know, getting booked for tours and shows and festivals, all that kind of stuff. It just gives you a good understanding when they're talking the contracts and terminology. So yeah, I did that for pretty much all the time that I was in Australia. And it wasn't until maybe, so I had a previous solo project as well called Third Floor, where you don't really see me, it's just a mask. I used to wear a mask, an electronic mask.
Oh, that's right.
That was kind of like more emo poppy stuff. That did pretty well. I had like music that went on to MTV in Australia and, you know, had some really big wins. And then, yeah, met Cam through, we were on the same, so when Cam was in his previous band, Olympic Airs, and I had my solo project, Third Floor, we were on the same booking agency called Under Control. And the guy who manages it and still manages it, Paul Sticks, he was like, oh, I think you two should make some music together. I think you two would really vibe. And yeah, and then, you know, I sent Cam some music. He politely declined, and then I just kept throwing more music at him. And then, then here we are. Our first record was Move You. We were signed pretty early on to Majestic Casual. They're a big, like, tastemaker label based out of Berlin. Uh-huh. We had three tracks with them. And then subsequently, we released quite a lot independently and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, through the pandemic, when that happened, we just decided to release, you know, frequently. We released like a song, nearly like a song a month throughout 2020. And that really kind of like juggernaut, we didn't really realize at the time that all these eyeballs across the world were looking at us going, oh, okay, who's these guys, Night Sails? Like, they're putting out, you know, good quality songs and consistently. And, you know, a year later, we're signed to Ultra Records, Sony, signed with CAA, have a big management team, about just dropped our debut album last week. And then going on our debut headline tour next month. So
it's that's incredible. Wow. Well, Cam, what was the song that Aaron sent over that you were like, okay, I'll entertain this now?
It was Move You. Yeah, I really like the chords and the feeling of those chords. So I just kind of like structured it with some lyrics and a bass line. And yeah, it actually ended up being the first single ever released on Majestic Casual. I think Aaron may have said that, but that was like, that was the moment where we're like, okay, we've got something here. And kind of rolled forward from there. Kind of experimenting with different sounds very early on. We almost kind of went in like pop land and a bit of disco stuff. But I think Move You was like the catalyst for the entire sound. Like the common thread was that it was going to be dance, house, like electronic type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it started off with Aaron sending you full songs? Were there lyrics and everything there, or was it just like, here's the instrumental production and everything and kind of do what you can do on this?
Yeah, I remember Move You specifically was like more of an ambient track. There was no lyrics or anything, so it was just an instrumental. I moved a pad, added a bass line, sung some lyrics to it, and then structured it so it kind of sound. But I love the drums. Like, drums are super important in tracks, and Aaron had that down pat. You know, if you've got the rhythm right, then it's a lot easier to complete the song. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. And so once that happened, do you guys link up at that point? Like, okay, this is something we should do together, or like, officially like start doing Night Tails?
Yeah, that would have been April 2017.
Okay.
And then once I sent back the idea, we got in the studio pretty regularly for about 4 weeks. No, actually up until June, because I remember I went on a 3 month holiday to Europe. So it was in the lead up to June, we were writing almost every week.
I think material. I had my second surgery when you were away as well. So yeah, that's it right. Never worked.
But, oh, yikes. Yeah. You all right? I've had 4 cervical spine surgeries and they suck.
Oh yeah. I had my, I had a disease called, ulcerative colitis disease, where it's a autoimmune disorder that hits the colon specifically. So
yeah,
you can't see here, but I've got a badass scar all the way down
oh,
here.
Oh man!
I had my whole colon removed. So that was 4 surgeries. So the first one was to take the diseased colon away and then give me a colostomy bag. Had that for like 9 months. The second operation was to go back inside to make something called a J pouch, let that heal. The third operation was to take off the colostomy bag and then go with the whole new function. But then literally 6 months later, I had a show with Cam on the island, which is like this floating barge in Sydney. And I wasn't feeling very well. I was getting all these sharp pains. And basically I got admitted to hospital again because all of the scar tissues from all the surgery split open my bowel. So but I'm good now. I'm good.
You're good. Oh my goodness, man. I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible.
Part of the story, part of the journey. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you first started.
Also, both were going through breakups, like respectively at that time. So it was pretty tough. Like, I remember just being like, holy shit, what the hell is going on? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So once that show happened, and like obviously you probably didn't perform, did they rush you to the hospital?
No, before.
Oh, you performed?
We performed, yeah.
It was after the show, yeah.
Wasn't
oh
afterwards.
My God.
I was just
God.
Like, man, I'm just feeling not, I'm just not.
Remember what you ate too? You had
fried rice and that's it. And
chicken or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I can't eat this. Something's not right. And that was it. And then back in hospital again. But
oh my gosh. What year was that? Last, I mean, that.
2017 to 2018. But it was the operations were spanned over a year and a half, and I had about 2 years kind of recovery in between. So imagine that they're like, you know, they just cut through your fucking
you can say whatever the fuck you want.
They cut through your abs and that, and it's just like I did this stupid thing, I think between the first and second surgery, where I did a deep dive on YouTube and I found the operation, and it was the worst thing I ever should have done, because I couldn't stop looking away. It was like, obviously your stomach is out like this and you're on stirrups and you've got about eight doctors just going, moving. And I was just like, no wonder I'm a morphine.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, it is full on.
Holy shit. Yeah. I had, they did two discs in my neck, and then I had to come back through the backside and pull, like, cut a whole chunk out of my spinal cord and then come back through the front. And I mean, I just being like, the surgeries itself suck so bad, and then having to wait for it. And then it's like, okay. And then 2 months later, it's like, oh, actually we need to get back in there and do this. Or it's just like, I feel like one, it sounds like you've had four. So it's like one just leads to the next, to the next, to the next. And it just is like this snowball effect. But I love to hear that you're okay, man. That sucks. That's crazy.
Yeah. I had an amazing surgeon. He's one of the best in the world at this particular procedure. Luckily, I had no complications and that kind of stuff. They went really well. It was just the fourth one was just a freak situation. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I didn't have the balls to like look it up on YouTube, and I'm glad I didn't after hearing that.
Yeah, you don't.
Oh man. Okay, so I mean, during those time periods when you're kind of, you know, not able to obviously perform in between surgeries and stuff, were you guys just writing via sending files back and forth, or was everything on kind of on pause at that point?
No, I never. I think for me, personally, like going through the recovery, the only thing I could do was write music. Do you know what I mean? So I just never really stopped, apart from the time I was in hospital. But even then, I'd have my laptop in hospital and I'd just be coming up with some sort of like ideas just to keep that kind of like muscle going. So I think that's probably a testament to me and Cam. We've never really, like, since the inception, we've never really stopped. We've just always continued to write. Like, you know, we've already got halfway through the second album done. Do you know what I mean? But always, always writing all the time. So, hopefully long may that continue.
Yeah, yeah. How did the pandemic affect you guys' writing, or where were we at as far as this album went, or did this start after the fact? Like,
we doubled down. We decided that we were going to put out even more material. Yeah, we said to ourselves that if we can get people's attentions whilst they're at home, chilling out, you know, having more time to listen to music, and that's going to benefit us. We kind of looked at, like, I guess social influences like Gary Vee and his strategy with always putting out content, music being ours, and then what other musicians were doing, predominantly in the hip-hop and R&B space, where they were just flooding the market with music. So for us, it was a chance to still be able to express ourselves whilst, you know, a lot of people weren't, you know. So yeah, we put out a song every single month for all of 2020.
Yeah,
and is that
we did something in that same year in June. Luckily that I have like a good connection with a lot of the venues in Sydney, because I've obviously worked or booked them. So we did this thing, we find on YouTube, it's called The Experience, where we did basically we had the whole venue to ourselves. We had three or four rolling different cameras, and then we do like a 45 minute kind of show, like all interlaced continuous music all the way through, where we're singing and playing live. And obviously that really added to the content as well. So not only did, you know, fans and I guess respective labels and agents were looking at the music, but then actually saw us actually perform, and this is how it translates to a kind of
live show. So, sure.
Yeah.
Was that weird playing I'm guessing an empty room.
Right? It was very strange because we've actually played there twice prior to a full house. So going there when there was no one, it was a little bit strange. I think we did it twice over.
Yeah, we did, but it's good. I mean, yeah, check it out on our YouTube channel. It's called The Experience. It's like people always seem to, a lot of feedback from fans is they've always had it like, if they kick on to the house parties or something like that, or even like priests to go out, they'll always kind of have it on. So we're going to do something very, very similar for our Proof album, some live performance somewhere with some beautiful settings and lights and drones and all that kind of stuff.
So, oh, rad. What about a live audience this time?
Open to it, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if we can get that, I mean, we're going to have like a videographer on tour with us. So we're definitely going to capture a lot of the content from the tour.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. And the record you said just came out last week or something, right? I mean, no, I know it just came out.
Yeah, it came out October the 7th.
Is that right? Yeah,
that was when the album released that. Yeah, and it's been really well received so far. We've had some really great write-ups, over the magazines. One in particular, I think it was EDM Maniac, did this beautiful write-up, and it was basically from the writer's perspective of listening to our album. So it was a very kind of, you know, music is always open for interpretation, and it was just to good to hear this person articulate how they thought the album was. And it's actually quite, you know, it's very, very similar to, you know, I guess what we set out to do.
That's great. I mean, I'm sure that's so helpful, especially because it could go a different way, right? I mean, I don't know. You get these the critics getting involved in it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's awesome that it went the way that you guys would want.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's, you know, there's been other articles where they've, you know, come out and had different things, but that's the beauty about music. It's like it's so ambiguous and open to your own interpretation and sure. how you're feeling. So yeah, we're never gonna hate on that.
That's awesome. Is there a particular song on the record or multiple songs on the record that you feel like wouldn't have turned out the way they did if it weren't for the pandemic, or like the way was the process of writing the songs different? Like, was it done via, you know, Dropboxing links to each or Dropboxing stems and stuff to each other, or were you able to get together and record the record?
Half of the album.
It was a period of time. Yeah. It was a period of time where we were able to, but you know, some was done in the States where we were stuck and we couldn't go back to Australia. So in its own indirect way, the pandemic did affect us with those type of songs. During the 2020 period of the mm-hmm. pandemic, we were still able to go to each other's houses for most of it. And then also fast forwarding again to 2021, there was some times where in early 2021 where we couldn't drive more than 5 kilometers to anywhere. And if you did, you'd get a massive like $1,000 fine.
So oh, that was wow. done by our
correspondence. So it was a big mix.
Yeah. Australia was really militant. You could have heard it on the news. Like, you know, it was very, very strict in its lockdown laws. But yeah, so Cam and I had the opportunity to come perform in the States in 2021. So we played at Brooklyn Mirage, which is, I think for me, my favorite venue we've played so far. We played Electric Zoo Festival. Mm-hmm. So we had like a 2-week tour around the States. And then a week before we were due to fly back to Australia, Delta broke out in Australia and Australia's closed all the borders to everyone. So what was meant to be a 2-week mini tour, and it cost us literally an arm and leg just to leave and get the approval to leave Australia, end up being a 3-month stint in America. We spent most of the time in Nashville because that's where our now new management company are based, even though the managers have just moved to LA now. But we wrote a lot of the ideas in Nashville, and the first song of the album is a song called Thinking About You. And that song, and there's a video to it online as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically about the whole premise of the song is us trying to get back to Australia, thinking about all our friends and loved ones there. Cause I had a brand new puppy who was like just left. I had to get like people to look after him and all that kind of stuff and everything else. And obviously I had an apartment that was, the rent was just going crazy because it wasn't there. So that song was literally about kind of getting back. And if you see the video were in like this kind of like derelict space, because we stayed in this like, you know, this Airbnb, which the guys had just bought to renovate, but it wasn't renovated. There was no furniture, no nothing in there. We were sleeping on air mattresses, just like, you know, broke, poor, thinking, what the hell have we done? But it inspired us to write, you know, about 3 or 4 songs off the album in Nashville. So.
Wow, that's where I'm at now. I'm originally from San Diego, and I moved to Nashville about a year and a half ago.
Oh yeah, we love Nashville. Nashville, Vegas is amazing.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's so cool. Because when I moved here, I was like, oh, am I moving to just like a strictly country town? Which there's a lot of country here, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's songwriters and musicians for all walks of life. It's amazing here.
Yeah, it's really great. I love. We definitely want to go back to Nashville. And then since now, the Airbnb has been like renovated into a super Airbnb. So at least like, because the pool was like green and had like, I don't know, that's probably like the Moss Man or Toxic Crusader in there somewhere. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Now it's like, you know, beautiful, pristine blue waters. So like, yeah, definitely that's want to go back to Nashville at some point.
Were you writing like in like Music City or some, or like Music Row area, or were you mainly doing it out of your Airbnb?
There's an Australian body called APRA, and basically what they do is they have all these different affiliations all over the world where you can have like, you know, studio spaces. So we just reached out to APRA and said, hey, look, we're stranded in Nashville. Do you have any rooms that we can potentially use? And like, actually, we do have this particular place. And I can't remember where it was now for the life of me. But it was in the city somewhere.
It's like a blues. There's a blues venue. I can't remember the name of it. It's like downtown area.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not
winery.
Sure.
It's a wine something like that. In Nashville.
Okay, I'm yeah. So new here, man. I've been here for a year and a half, but I like never like yeah. go out really. Yeah. But that's cool. That's really cool. On your tour coming up, you're not playing here. I see how you guys are, but just kidding. But hopefully soon. Yeah, you know, next time around, maybe
we have to tap into. Yeah, we definitely want to. We're not. We're pretty unfamiliar with what electronic music is like. In Nashville.
I was going to say, it's not really a spot yet for, which I feel bad because I came from, like I said, San Diego, which had a scene. And then I lived in San Francisco for a while, which is where I was really opened my eyes to electronic music. Mm. And then obviously LA, but like going here, you don't see it. They're starting to book things. They've done a couple little festivals here recently enough, but they'll get like, you know, the Chain Smokers, which I guess you could call electronic, but it's like point of like, you know, every mom on the planet knows who they are, so it's not really the same vibe. But I mean, I think that it's starting to hit here a bit, which is cool to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like music at the end of the day is connecting with an audience, then, you know, I think the genre is almost.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So the record's out, the tour's coming up. Like, what was like on this album? Was there a song that you just knew that was going to be like, what was your, like, at what moment did it click that you were like, okay, this is such an amazing song? I'm sure you had moments like that throughout the whole album. But was there a standout moment you can remember?
Yeah, we got pretty emotionally attached to a lot of the songs along the way. So that's how we kind of knew that we had a great album on our hands. There was, you know, sometimes it was highlighted by the fact that like Love Song, for example, was like highlighted by the fact that we actually got it approved, like to use their composition and their lyrical composition was approved by the QR. So that was just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, getting Robert Smith to sign off on that, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
massive fans. And then like I remember feeling really excited about Phoenix when we wrote that in Sydney. And sometimes it's a matter of reflection too, like after you've had some time to sit with the song and you figure what it's about, you know, that's when you're like, oh, okay. And it almost makes you feel at peace with previously what happened in your life, which is now, you know, captured in time by this sonic recording, you know.
Mm-hmm. Studio was Indo Studio in Nashville. That's where we were.
Indo Studios. I'll have to check it out.
Okay, yeah, it was great.
Cool. And then the tour's kicking off in like a week or two, right?
Yeah, the 3rd of November in Dallas. Yeah, and then the next show is in LA on the 5th. Then we have Toronto, New York, Portland, Seattle, Chicago.
Yeah, you guys are kind of going like
we're going like
all over the place.
We're just going where anyone wants to listen to us. We'll be there.
How was your independent show? I love that venue in San Francisco.
It actually got literally, so there's something strange happening in the market in San Francisco. You've had like we had another artist called Manila Killer. He had to like move shows because tickets just weren't translating. Even Odessa, who are a massive group.
Oh yeah, Odessa's huge.
Yeah, they had to, I think, cancel one of their shows. So something funky is happening in San Fran at the moment where there's been a lot of like reprogramming and rejigging because of the market. We're not quite sure why, but that's the feedback we've got from a lot of the, you know, the bookers and the buyers over there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a shame. I'm sure we'll revisit it at some point, but yeah.
Oh, so you guys didn't have a chance to do it?
No, we didn't, unfortunately. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up. I will take blame, and not, I'm not taking blame personally. A great buddy of mine who was he was a program director for an alternative radio station, and he does a lot of, he threw a lot of parties with EDM. That's where I kind of opened my eyes to it. I mean, like, he would book Avicii and Calvin Harris before they were like, you know, next level things. And I don't think he's doing it much in San Francisco anymore. I feel like the pandemic happened and I don't know. His name is Aaron Axelson. He's a legend there. So hopefully he can revise and revitalize that scene. And I hope it happens soon. That it didn't happen.
Yeah, let's get him on the phone. We'll chat. We'll love to get back out there. But I mean, for us, it's quite exciting because, you know, we're still new to America. You know, we've been to New York heaps of times, and also been to LA quite a lot. Also had a stint in Nashville, but like, and we played in Chicago as well. We really love that city. So we're just making sure that, you know, we get to these cities and explore as much as we can before we do the shows. I'm just excited just to see more of America and just kind of getting out there to the fans.
I love it. I love it. Well, I appreciate both your time today. Thank you so much for doing this. I hope to see you in Nashville, and I hope that sucks to hear about San Francisco. That place, they were, like I said, when I moved there, I had never experienced really EDM music at all. And I'm like, damn, like, this is crazy. And to hear that their scene is just kind of falling apart, it's unfortunate. But I would love to hear if you have any advice for aspiring artists, if I can get an answer from both of you. Thank you so much again for doing this.
For me, it's just like, following your passion, and just try and not fall into the trap of trying to make music for what you think everyone else wants to hear. Just stick to what you want to do and believe it. And it's just a lot of, it's hard work. Like, don't give up, just keep on writing, be like passionate about it. There's no shortcuts in this game. You know, Cam and I have been around for a minute, do you know what I mean? And we're lucky that this thing's like starting to translate. But yeah, it's, you know, be passionate about what you do. Try not to write for other people want you to hear. And yeah, that's my advice.
Love it. What about you, Cam?
Yeah, I'd probably say to be your own best friend and just keep listening to that inner voice inside of yourself that knows which direction to take, that knows when someone's got your back in the industry, or even friendships too, you know? Just keep listening to that voice and it'll guide you.